So what happens is, if you get together, you can confront the system, and if you have the knowledge and you really understand it, that they haven't got a leg to stand on, you can stand up to them and you say, I don't care what you do to the rest of the sheep, I'm not going to take it. And I know that I'm right, and you don't want to go there because you got more to lose than I do, basically the system. And what people have to do is they have to start getting together. The system is afraid of nothing so much that we should get organized. And that's why in this contract with the Royal Bank, it says, you agree not to discuss this with your neighbors or go anywhere and this sort of thing. That is inherent to every business loan across Canada. But of course, that provision is unenforceable because it's intended to prevent you from realizing and talking with your neighbor how you are being systematically made a pawn in a criminal enterprise. You have to say to the court, I know that I am committing a criminal act here, and I am not going to do it. I am going to force you to order me to commit an act of money laundering and to commit a fraud against equity to the detriment of my wife, my children, my other unsecured creditors. And when you put it in that terms, the court's hands are bound. They can't do it.
And so the effect of that would be they'll negotiate with you or dismiss the case or whatever it is that is in contest just in order to get you quiet and out of the light so that other people don't learn what you just demonstrated that you knew.
Essentially, what you're doing is you are making it clear to them that suddenly the expected return on this document is zero from their point of view. So what is the point of spending resources other than the pure flexing of muscle, paying lawyers more and more money for a debt that is technically uncollectible? Now, you got to realize they will tell you exactly the opposite. Now, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But I've done the research, and I have got like 10,000 pages of material. It's all documented. And once it's pointed out, it becomes so simple. I mean,
we'll have people tested it and gone through the steps and come out the other side successfully.
Yes, there have been a number of them. If you do it properly and you show these people that you have the wherewithal to follow it through, they will give you satisfaction. They will give you remedy, but they'll make you sign what's called a gag order that you agree not to talk about it with others.
Let's do a hypothetical case. How would a case arise? Somebody is contesting a loan that they've made that they are supposedly liable for and saying, no, this was illegal from the outset. Therefore, it's null and void. Therefore, I do not need to pay this back because it was initiated in fraud. Do I understand it correctly?
Yes. The example I gave before was of a, say, a 25-year mortgage at 7% with a face value of $200,000. You're going to pay a total of $420,000 over the 25 years. Now, that's a hypothecation of your income, the money you are going to earn. You have a finite amount of that. Say you're going to earn $1 million over your entire lifetime. You are taking $420,000 of that for the privilege of spending $200,000 today. But you created that money, and it was your money from the outset, and the bank scammed you out of it. And so even though you're saying, well, I'm not going to pay, the only thing the bank can say is, well, it'll come out of my ill-gotten gains. You see, the bank isn't losing any money that they were entitled to in the first place. And this is a very important point to get your head around, is that until the banks pay back and lose the $1.2 trillion that they have stolen over the last 20 years, they're net ahead of the game. And that's why they won't fight so hard once you demonstrate to them that you know what's going on and that you're not going to take it anymore. It's like the network from 1976 where he goes to the window and he says, you've got to get mad as hell and say you're not going to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Let's create another movie scenario here. And let's say there were a film in which a group of enlightened and knowledgeable and brave and skillful people were able to essentially step into this situation and take over and correct it. How would that go? If you can just imagine that.
You would have to find a way to capitalize it. You would have to maybe issue your own new debt paper, your new liability
paper. Well, let's look at it like a movie. I mean, we're in a contemporary moment in a typical business center city in Canada. What could happen in Ottawa or wherever it's necessary for this to take place, for this new system to be instituted?
It would revolve around the internet. There's no doubt about it. We have a historically unprecedented opportunity where the bonds have been cut between the previous system of total control over what information we get and what you have access to through the ownership of newspapers and print media, the broadcast media by the same interests that own the banks. And we have this internet. And you'll see the window is closing. In another 5 years, if they don't like what you have to say, you won't be able to get a website because it will all be owned by a few mega corporations. So you've got 5 years. What are we going to do? You have to organize. And this screenplay would be such that people would begin to organize and they would say, okay, I understand. These resources are available over the internet. I will do my homework and I will not ride on anyone else's coattails, so to speak. I will not just say, well, oh, there's something wrong here. If you don't understand how and why you have been ripped off, you cannot demand satisfaction with a clear conscience and mean it. So it's not a scam. You have to know what you're talking about. And in order to get organized, you have to basically join or somehow get access to the information. You have to study it and you have to pass a test, whether that test is administered by your wife or your kids or what have you, your neighbors, or yourself. You have to convince yourself and understand and have the courage of your convictions. And once you do that, you join the club and you say, I'm in on this. We are going to collectively stand up to these so-and-sos and we are going to get remedy under the law. And if it means organizing a political party, then so be it. Now, what has happened in the past is, to me, this screenplay, this hypothetical screenplay, would revolve around the plan as contract and not an individual. Things can happen to individuals. You don't need a leader. You need a plan to be the leader so that no matter who they may eliminate or whatever bad things may happen, which is not to say that this is how things will unfold.
Well, in most movies, that's how they unfold.
Exactly.
There's a lot of suspense and people disappearing mysteriously, and strangely enough, that seems to happen in this area in life.
Yes, indeed. And it's because people tend to throw their sort of emotional attachment to the individual, the leader, the great leader who's going to lead them out of the wilderness, et cetera, et cetera. It is a recurring theme throughout history, from Moses to Napoleon to Adolf Hitler. It's a red herring. Don't go there. You have to follow the plan so that if anything happens to the leader, the Joshua steps up and becomes the new leader, but only because he is dedicated or she is dedicated to seeing it through without wavering and doing it. And you'll find that the society is controlled by maybe 1% of the population. People are fallible. And so you have to say, this is what we are going to do, and we are not going to be distracted by sex scandals, by drug scandals, by what have you. We are going to change the system from deposit institutions where property interest changes hands to repositories where the people who earn the money keep the money. That's all you have to do. You will change the world overnight. If you will change all financial institutions globally from deposit institutions into repository institutions.
So courses like this one, which we're speaking on and which you are listening to now, are calling your attention to the opportunity to take advantage of the window and actually not just think about it, but do the learning, make the connections, follow through on what's available here to get to that information beyond what's on this specific disc that you're listening to, so that the change could possibly occur.
Yes, and there's one other point that is closely related to that, and that is throughout history, in order to sort of quell these revolutions as they get started, they've had to take care of the people who are in the system, or in the pipe, so to speak, and have started taking steps to remedy the situation at the time they change the law or change the system. Everybody who doesn't know what's going on, you don't get your remedy. But if you have already started, they have to take care of you and they have to give you your remedy as part of the change of the new regime. And at the same time, I don't want to sound militant or anything like this. This has to be done nonviolently, and it has to be done in such a way that it is an intellectual movement. People say, we've had enough. And by looking at all of these different things, I'm an expert in the banking. I can tell you how these banks have been cheating people systematically for 300 years. You have other people, such as Bill Benson, who have done exactly the same type of research, only they've done it in terms of the tax system. And people are always looking for minute details. Aha, I found some little DNA fragment. When in fact, the big picture is staring you in the face. And if you look at it from 5 or 6 different perspectives, parallax view of the same phenomena, you triangulate reality. And you say, wait a minute, this is how this one fits in here, this one fits in here. I now see the big picture that I couldn't see before, and I was incapable of seeing on a one-off component basis. But you put it all together, you say, how could I have been so stupid as to miss something that obvious?
Let me just make one last suggestion and see what you have to say about it. The old way of doing things was confrontation. And the Berlin Wall stood for a long, long time. Confrontation didn't bring it down. What brought it down were more and more people walking in the streets in Leipzig and Dresden. I think it started just on Friday afternoons or evenings. And gradually, over a few short months, that grew until more and more people had seen the truth. And suddenly, the government and the old system could no longer be believed. And those people on the government side suddenly realized, oops, we've been exposed. And then the wall came down, and it was a nonviolent transformation. It could have been a fight. There was no fight because the outcome of the fight was clear. There were enough people asking for the change so that it was unwise for the controlling group to even pretend to have control. Wouldn't have worked. And so they surrendered. Now, in this situation that we're talking about, you have a population of individuals, because everything is made up of individuals, who are the bankers and the lawyers and the judges, who have maintained this control pattern over everybody's money. When you say 1% of the population can change history, the population of bankers, lawyers, and judges is certainly way less than 1% of the population. So they're outnumbered if only 1% of the population wakes up. Do you think that based on the judges and the lawyers and the bankers that you know, here's the question, how many of them are beginning to notice that the change is coming and are beginning to essentially restructure their own identities and join the solution rather than maintain the old problem?
Most of them, either consciously or unconsciously. You can see, I mean, I've noticed it. I first testified before a jury in 1991 in Edmonton. And at that time, the judges were really interested. They wanted to hear the stories. And they're saying, what? Wow, this is really interesting. No, let them talk. Let them talk. And then when it started to gain some momentum, that's when they got ugly. You know, then it was, no, forget it. Shut up. I don't want to hear this. Bank wins. Go away. It's changing again. Now you can see that the system has backed itself into a corner. And the contradictions are becoming so evident and so rife. Never forget the fact that these people have vastly much more to lose than the average person in the street. And what they want is a solution that allows them to maintain their relative position. If we were to correct this system and to require all banks must have the money they claim to lend, you would eliminate all federal taxation or very nearly all of it, and you would have a much more equitable system going forward. But you have to maintain the relative status of everybody in society. What you want to do is you want to maintain the relative position of everybody, but get rid of the hyperinflation and all of this debt.
So this is why you propose this amnesty
general
on the bankers and lawyers and judges.
Exactly. You can keep some of the money, even a substantial portion of the money that you have stolen from us collectively thus far, but we are going to stop the bleeding, and this is not going to continue anymore because this musical chair game can't win, and it can only end with perhaps the extinction of humanity, the way it's going. Because there is no way we can continue to produce 35 million automobiles a day in order to satisfy the debt obligation to keep it from getting any larger. And the way that the game ends is one mega corporation owns everything. When that happens, there will be no choice but to keep people down militarily and by violence for its own sake. We will have arrived at George Orwell's 1984.
We don't want the movie to end that way. We want the screenplay to change now so that it reverses.
Right. You have to give credit where credit is due. The nameless, faceless legal fiction called a bank corporation, we have to stop giving them our property that we earn and produce with our labor and our brains, our intellects, our intelligence. And then we have no choice after we produce something new but to give it as a gift to these institutions in exchange for an account credit that is inflationary. It increases the purchasing power supply, but it costs the institution nothing to produce. It's destructive in the long run. It's destructive in the short run.